part of the chapter that I want to focus on here, and then we're going to flip over to Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 3. But it says in Zechariah 3:7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Now, let me preach tonight on this subject. Men wondered at. That's the title tonight. Men wondered at. Now, what did he mean by that when he said they're men wondered at? Thou and the men that sit beside thee. These are basically the leaders of the house of God. These are the leaders of the restoration of Israel. Just to get the timing right, this is after the children of Israel went away into captivity, children of Judah rather, into Babylon. And then they come back after 70 years. They're in the process of rebuilding the temple. Joshua is not the Joshua from the book of Joshua. This is a different Joshua, the son of Jozadak, who is the high priest at that time. And he was a spiritual leader. He was the man who was preaching the truth and was a political leader as well. He was the leader. Nehemiah was another leader at that time. Ezra was another leader. And when the Bible says there were men wondered at, if you look at the word wonder, what does it mean to wonder at something? Basically, it means to be amazed at it. Like, wow, you know, you're surprised by it. Or men wondered at is basically somebody that you would look up to and admire. Basically, these men wondered at, he's explained to them, you know, people are looking at them. These men are famous, you know, they're great leaders that people are looking to and wondering at, you know, they're impressed by them would be another term that you could use for to be wondered at. Look if you would at Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament, Philippians 3:17. The Bible says in Philippians 3:17, "Brethren, be followers together of me." This is Paul speaking. "And mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, my question to you tonight is this. Who do you wonder at? So many times, we as Christians are following after people who fall into the category in Philippians 3, who Paul often warned them about. And if I'm going to preach God's Word anything like Paul did, I'm going to stand up tonight and warn you about some people that you shouldn't be wondering at, that you shouldn't be following after and looking up to as an example in your life. He said there are many who walk in such a way where their God is their belly. That's an attitude that just says, if it feels good, do it. Many walk on a path whose end is destruction and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Earthly things, basically, that's called elsewhere in the Bible, things that are of the world. Worldliness. Those who are worldly. The worldly heroes. The worldly stars who people wonder at. And they're so impressed by and they look up to and literally almost worship, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. You say, Pastor Isaac, what does that mean, their glory is in their shame? Their glory is in their shame. Basically, the things for which they should be ashamed is what they glorify. Things that they should be ashamed of. Now, whether it's nudity, whether it's illicit lifestyles, whether it's the fact that they're a sodomite, whether it's the fact that they're an adulterer, whether it's the fact that they're a whoremonger, whether it's the fact that they're a drunk, they glory in those things. They brag about those things. And I'm talking to you tonight about the worldly entertainment today that glorifies sin and wickedness and filth. I mean, the Britney Spears of this world who just take pleasure in being a fool and just displaying that openly for the world. How sleazy they are. How trashy they are. How they have no decency or morality or dignity. Let me ask you something. Do you wonder at that crowd? Or do you wonder at people who are godly and righteous examples for your life? Let me give you another example. Look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101. This is right in the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms. Psalm 101. Look what David said in Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. Boy, that ought to be what we sing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we ought to be singing praises to the Lord. Not singing the world's music. And I'm going to get into that in a little while here. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt Thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He's saying, look, when I'm in my house, I'm not going to put something wicked in front of my eyes. Like, I'm not going to turn on the TV and watch a bunch of wicked garbage on TV. And he says this. He explains why. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. But so many Christians today, they glory in, they wonder at, they take pleasure in, they enjoy watching the wicked people of this world, the most wicked, ungodly people in America today are the ones in Hollywood, the ones in rock and roll, the ones in the modeling industry, and they look at them and they take pleasure in them and they set that wickedness before their eyes instead of saying like David, I don't want to look at a wicked person. I don't want to know a wicked person. I don't want to know about the Hollywood stars. I don't want to pick up People Magazine and U.S. Weekly and read about all the twists and turns of their sinful, depraved love life, so-called. I don't care, he said. No, I don't want to go see the current Hollywood movie with you. No, I'm not interested in downloading this movie and watching it. No, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land. I want to look at God's people as my example. I want to look at some godly, righteous Christian and wonder at them and say, that's my hero. That's who I'm following. That's who I want to be like. And not have worldly, ungodly people whose end is destruction. Let me translate that for you. They're going to hell. They're not my hero. I don't want to emulate them. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to look at them. And I'm not going to set wickedness before my eyes in my house. The television is a gateway to any wickedness you want to have. It's right there for you. Turn it on. The computer can bring in all manner of wickedness. I mean, whatever you want to bring in, whatever filth, whatever wickedness, it's there on the internet. It's available. Now look, I think there's a difference between TV and the internet. Now, I don't have a TV, but I do have the internet. Here's why I have no TV, but yet I have the internet. Because on the internet, I can go to websites that are made by God's people. I mean, I can go to faithfulwordbaptist.org. I think that's a pretty good website. You know, I can go to my bank. I can go to my banking website and do my banking. I can go to my email and run my business. I can go to the Yellow Pages and find a scissor lift rental or a ladder rental for my job. I can go on there and check the weather in a place that I'm about to drive. And there's all these different avenues that I go on. And there are literally websites on the internet that are produced by Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians like myself and others who have websites and web pages on the internet. But let me tell you something. The TV, there is no programming on that TV that is produced by God's people. I mean, it's just not there. Now, theoretically, maybe if there were some godly, righteous program on the TV, then theoretically, yeah, it would be okay to watch it, right? Except for the fact that you'd have to go through so much filth to find it. Because there is no channel that's the Independent Fundamental Baptist channel. There's no such channel. It's not there. And see, the internet's kind of like a library. Because, you know, who here goes to the library every once in a while? Like, in a year's time, you go to a library. But, you know, the library has books about homos and porno and every filthy thing. But you don't go down that aisle. Who goes to Barnes & Noble and Borders? You know, who goes to the grocery store? You know, there are aisles at the grocery store that you ought not go down. The booze aisle, You know, you shouldn't even look at all that junk. You know, all the alcohol. But I always just avoid it. Like, when I start to walk down that aisle, I just go around it. I don't want to go down. You know, the magazine aisle? You don't want to go down that magazine aisle. You know, but there are some good aisles at the grocery store where you can get meat and produce and vegetables. But let me tell you something. You can't name for me the channel on that television that's just pumping in all kinds of righteousness and godliness or even anything that's decent. But even the internet can become a lazy man's tool where you're just sitting in front of it and just being lazy all day, you know. That's something to be aware of with that. And also, the internet does allow you, I mean, you can pull up any kind of filth and smut that you want, but you ought to make this psalm right here. If you have that temptation or anything confronting you of typing in the wrong things into that internet or turning on the TV or getting the DVD and putting it in your laptop or TV or whatever you put it in, look, we are living in 2010. If you want to set something wicked in front of your eyes in your house, whether it's via TV, internet, you can do it. It's there. Or you can get in the car and go to the movie theater and see what kind of smut they're serving up for you there this week. But let me tell you something. This ought to be our prayer as God's people. We need some holiness back in Christianity. We need to get back to old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching that says that sin is wicked, stay away from it, and that names the sin and tells you what it is. Not just a vague, I'm against sin. Yeah. Everybody's against sin. There's not a church in America probably that'll tell you sin's good. You know, but you go to church, it says, don't sin. Well, let me tell you what kind of sin. The sin of fornication. Sleeping together when you're not married is a wicked sin.
That's right, man.
And let me tell you something. That's the kind of wickedness that you shouldn't be setting before your eyes either.
Right.
It's not enough to just say, well, I'm not going to commit fornication, but I'm going to watch a show where people go on a date and they go to bed after the first date. Hey, that's wicked to watch that on TV. And you say, oh, it didn't show anything. You still watched a program about people going to bed after the first date. I don't care if it showed anything or not. You are watching wickedness.
Right.
And that's what all these sitcoms are. It's a bunch of whores and whoremongers.
Amen.
And don't get offended by my choice of terminology. Those are Bible words.
Amen.
I just went out soul winning today and showed somebody a verse that said about whoremongers going to the lake of fire in Revelation 21:8. It's a Bible word, folks. I'm not going to call them what the world calls them, stars. You know, and they're gays and stars and you know, well, they're a little bit loose. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Or you could say she's a whore and he's a whoremonger. That's what the Bible calls it. Call a spade, my friend. Quit being a compromiser and decide, hey, not only am I saved, not only do I believe on Jesus Christ and I'm on my way to heaven and no man can take my eternal salvation from me, let me tell you something. I want to walk as Jesus Christ walked.
Amen.
Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to cleanse the iniquity and filth out of my life, and I want to walk a clean and godly and separated life. That's why I go to an independent Baptist church.
Amen.
That's why I don't go to the community church. That's why I don't go to the fun center. That's why I don't go to the little, you know, praise and worship service. Because they won't preach against sin, and I'm sick of it.
Amen.
They're part of the problem, because they're not part of the solution.
Amen.
The church where you can go there for years, they'll never preach against the Seinfeld and Friends that you watch on TV. Somebody help me out with some more modern shows. Sick of preaching on stuff from the 80s and 90s.
American Idol.
American Idol.
Fly to the Conquers.
Fly to the Conquers. I don't even know what that is.
Lost.
Is that the guy where I get emails every day telling me I look like the guy from Lost or something?
Baptist
Watch Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's all godly, it's all righteous, all the women have skirts down to their knees and they're all feminine, right? No. The stuff that's being played on TV, I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in about 7 or 8 years. But every time I'm on an airplane or something and catch a little TV that's just playing, I can't help but see it. It's people hopping into bed together. That's all it seems to be. It's just a total tearing down of your morality. And the reason that Pastor Fun Center over at Community Christian Calvary Worship Complex won't preach against it is because he's living in sin himself.
That's right.
Because any pastor who won't preach against sin, it's because he's living in sin.
That's right.
It's true. When a pastor won't hit on sin, it's because he's living in it. Because Because how are you going to get up and scream and yell and foam at the mouth against sin and then go home and watch HBO and Showtime and Cinemax? And go home and watch American Idol? And go home and watch Dancing with the Stars? You know, or whatever. Is that a show that's on? Fly to the Conchords, whatever that is. You know, or how about this? I literally pulled out a TV guide, like, just in order to preach against shows. I was like, I need some new shows. And I pulled out a TV listing just to get the names of the shows, just to preach against them. And there was one that was called, like, Wife Swapping. You know what I mean? It's like, good night. Why don't you just say it? I don't care what the Bible says. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven and everybody else can go to hell. I'm just going to live like the world. I'm just going to be a heathen. I'm just going to watch Wife Swapping. I'm just going to watch Desperate Housewives and Party of Five and Seinfeld and Friends and whatever. You know, I don't know what this garbage is. You know, I don't want to know what it is.
Amen.
I will not know a wicked person. I don't want to know. And let me tell you, turn to Romans chapter 1 if you would. Let me tell you something. We got a bunch of young people today, and we got a bunch of people who think that one day they're going to be a Baptist preacher, and this is the kind of garbage that they're into. Let me tell you something. They're never going to be a preacher that's worth anything unless they get separated in their life.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
It's true. You know, if you're just sitting there filling your mind with the world, and then you're going to get up and preach, and God's power is going to be upon you. You say, well, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm getting people saved. Hey, I want to preach the gospel filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I want to preach the gospel with the power of Christ resting upon me. And you know what? That comes from living a separated, godly, holy, righteous life. Brother Dave preached it today at the nursing home. He said the purpose of reading the Bible daily, of praying on a daily basis, and getting the sin out of your life is so that God can use you to be a better soul winner.
Yeah.
That's what he preached, and it's so true. That's why I got the sin out of my life as a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old, as I was in phases of shedding a lot of the worldliness and ungodliness at that time that was in my life. Because I said, I want God to use me. I don't want to be held back. I don't want people to not hear the gospel, not be saved. Because God couldn't use me because I was such a filthy vessel that he couldn't use me as his servant. You see, David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, you know what he said? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And he wasn't talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because Old Testament believers were not indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We in the New Testament are indwelled by the Holy Spirit permanently. Okay, the Holy Spirit will never depart from us, but just as in the Old Testament, people had the Holy Spirit resting upon them. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them. Same thing in the New Testament. Because see, the New Testament believers in John 20 were indwelled by the Holy Spirit after that Jesus was glorified. But it wasn't until Acts chapter 1 that they had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. And then it was again in Acts chapter 4 that the Holy Spirit rests upon them in mighty power. But that will come upon you when you don't have wicked sin in your life. Because when you have wicked sin in your life, it's just like Saul when he sinned. Remember what happened when Saul sinned? The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And again, we're not talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit of the believer. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. You can't preach with power when you're worldly and sinful. Now look, all of us are sinners, right? So let's just go out and sin to high heaven. No, sir. Yes, we're all sinners, but we don't all have to watch smut on TV. We don't all have to go to the movies and have the devil serve up this week's treat from the movie theater. We don't all have to love and wonder at all these stars and idols. And they're literally called idols. They call these guys a teen idol. You know, put them all up. That's where the show American Idol takes its name from. From the idea. You remember in the 80s is where that term, I heard that term as a child. They would talk about like teen stars of Hollywood and music. They would call them an idol. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, and then that term idol kind of dropped out of fashion for a while. Then the show American Idol is kind of going back to that term. It's talking about people worshiping people in Hollywood. That's where the term idol comes from. That's where American Idol comes from. Worshiping man. Worshiping supermodels who are whores. Worshiping stars on TV and the movies who are some of the most ungodly, wicked people. I've known people personally who got into that business, and they said it's the most filthy, disgusting business to be in. Show business, the rock and roll industry, the modeling industry, Madison Avenue industry, is truly run by Satan. It is.
That's right.
Where did I have you turn to?
Romans
chapter 1 says this in verse number 18. For the wrath of God. God's mad, folks. He's angry. That's what wrath means. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, sin makes God mad. It ought to make you mad. And that's why I'm mad tonight. Instead of just saying, "Well, why is the preacher so mad?" Well, why isn't the other preacher down the street so mad? If God's mad, I'm mad. And so he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Idolatry, worshipping man, worshipping the flesh, worshipping animals. He says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Listen, my friend, this isn't the New American Standard, the NIV, all these new, I think even the New King James, the RSV, all the modern Bibles, you know what they changed? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. No, they changed the truth of God into a lie, the Bible says. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, or where am I? They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature. There's your idol right there, your American idol. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. You know, it wasn't just enough that they're fornicators, that they're wicked, that they're in all this sin. Now, all of a sudden, they just go into vile affections because God just gives them up. Like, he takes away all restraint. And basically, they just have the heart of a beast. And it says, you know, they went into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. So is there any doubt here that we're talking about the homosexuals, the sodomites, the queers, men with men, leaving women and going toward men? It's vile, the Bible says. Vile means disgusting. And it says that even as they did not like to retain God in their lives, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Here's a rundown of some of their attributes. Being filled. Who's filled with this? These bunch of sodomites. The gay crowd, as they're politically correct called. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornicate. This is the gay guy at your work. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Now let's pause on haters of God. I was just reading the Bible to my children. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Go to Proverbs 15. It was either 14 or 15 because it was the proverb of the day. You know how you read, like, one, we try to read to our kids the proverb of the day in addition to the, you know, we read to them Old Testament, New Testament, and then we kind of read them the proverb of the day so that they can get wisdom as young people. Chapter 14, so it must have been 2 days ago. Look at verse number 14. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 14. It says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." So who is it that despises God? Who hates God according to Proverbs 14:2? The one who's a pervert. The one who's perverse in his ways. And it says in Romans 1, that was just a quick little break there. Let's go back to Romans 1. You know, we can't, that list is pretty heavy list, so we broke it up a little for you. Okay, let's get back into the attributes of your little sweetie pants at your work. Haters of God, verse 30, Romans 1:30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful means hateful, same thing, despising. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. You say, what does implacable mean? Implacable is very similar to the word unmerciful. It's basically just someone who has no mercy, just basically a very, pretty much a violent person that just is never satisfied until they've just wreaked all manner of wickedness and they have no restraint to the amount of wickedness that they'll do to another person. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now hold on a second. At that point, all the Christians say, amen, that's right. Go get them, you know. Bunch of queers, bunch of freaks. Man, they're wicked, you know. But hold on a second. Now here's where God's about to get on you, Christian. Look at the next verse. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Why are we guilty? Because of verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, Romans 1:32, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, therefore thou art inexcusable. He's saying, look, you want to get up and rip and criticize the homos, and you're right, because in verse 2 of chapter 2, look at verse 2 of chapter 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Amen. But he says, wait a minute, you're guilty too because you take pleasure in those that commit such things. He says, you're going to judge the homo when your DVD case is filled with a bunch of homos that you watch and take pleasure in and enjoy? God's calling you a hypocrite tonight if you're going to say, I stand against homosexuality. I'm against the filth. I'm against it. But then you listen to their music and take pleasure in them. Yeah. You watch their movies and take pleasure in them. And let me tell you something. If you expect me to believe you can go down and watch a Hollywood movie and it's not a bunch of sodomites in the cast, you know what? I'm not as dumb as you think. I mean, do we have to name through the list of just the known sodomites of Hollywood? Just the known, the ones that have just come out and said, I'm a pervert. I'm a faggot. You know, whatever you want to call it. I don't think that's the term that they used, but, you know, I'm lesbian or whatever. Let's just go through the list. I mean, the list is too long. We'll be here all night. But let's throw out some names just to get a feel here. You know, Robert Downey Jr., I think is back in movies. I saw his face on a magazine yesterday. He's back in some kind of movie. He's a sodomite, folks. Who's the other? Keanu Reeves, sodomite. Before he was famous, he was acting in a bunch of gay films before anybody knew about him. Who's another one? Help me out, people. Huh? I guess there's only two. No, I'm kidding. Rosie O'Donnell is another one. Ellen Degenerate. I mean, Degeneres. Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh no, Pastor Anderson, he's bi. They're all bi. That's why the Bible says, thank you, Garrett. Leviticus 20:13 says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with, they all go both ways. But only a filthy sodomite is attracted to the same gender, according to the Bible, according to Romans 1. According to Genesis, according to Leviticus, all these different things. We could go down. Let's get into music. Michael Stipe from REM, known sodomite. Elton John, known sodomite. You know the cliche everybody says, like, hate the sin, love the sinner. One time I was telling somebody, why do you have Elton John? You're a Christian. I said, Elton John's a sodomite, and they said, Steve. They said, it's hate the sin, love the music. That's what they said, you know, instead of hate the sin, love the sin, they said, hate the sin, love the music. Wrong. Why do you want to be sung to sleep? And by the way, when you watch all these Disney movies like The Lion King, Elton John, a filthy sodomite, is singing your kids to sleep at night. That's who's singing the soundtrack on the thing. And you take pleasure in that? You know, who else do we have in the music industry? Who? Freddie Mercury, Queen.
Yep.
Homo. Bjork. Remember Bjork from the 90s? She came out and said, I go both ways.
David Bowie.
David Bowie is another one.
Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin, thank you. I didn't know you were into that. You're the last person. No, I'm just kidding.
Mick Jagger.
Oh, yeah, Mick Jagger talked about doing all kinds of filthy things. Yeah, definitely. And these are the big stars. I mean, these aren't unknown groups. I mean, these are the big groups that are out there. I mean, if you're listening to the radio, you're listening to R.E.M., the Rolling Stones, Bjork is one, R.E.M., I don't know, I'm repeating myself. But, you know, I used to have a much longer list, but thank God I don't listen to that stuff anymore at all. So my list is getting shorter just as it goes out of my mind. But let me tell you something, it's filled with sodomites. You know, whether it's movies, whether it's TV. You know, the Backstreet Boys, you know, do I have to say that? All these boy bands, you know, they're always coming out of the closet and everything like that. These Hollywood stars. Look, my friend, you shouldn't be watching this stuff because you're taking pleasure in the wicked. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, David said. I don't want to know a wicked person. I don't want to watch this stuff. It's a corrupting influence. I don't want to follow people and look up to people and wonder at people whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. You know, Britney Spears is another one that's been a pervert that's come out and said that she was perverted. Madonna is another one. I mean, we could go down the list. I mean, I don't have the... I'm sorry I don't have the comprehensive list of every Hollywood sodomite. But let me tell you something. It's real prevalent. Anybody who knows about it and follows the little People magazine, I'm sure could tell you all about it. And they could go on and on. But the point is, look at 1 John chapter 2. The point is that we shouldn't take pleasure in those people. If we're going to be a Christian and say, I'm going to follow Christ, we should choose this day whom we're going to serve.
Amen.
And say, you know what? Am I on the Lord's side or am I on the world's side? Because let me tell you something. The people that you love so much in Hollywood and on TV and in the music industry, these are the same people who stand for everything you're against. I changed my mind. Go to James chapter 2 instead. James chapter 2. I mean, do you really think that Hollywood is pro-life? Do you think that the rock and roll singers you listen to are pro-life?
No.
I mean, do you really think that they're for anything that you stand for politically, any kind of freedom and liberty? No, they're all left-wing, socialist, and they want everything that's wicked. They want abortion. They want everything that's wrong. That's who they campaign for. That's who they're friends with. That's who they hang out with. It's all about AIDS. It's all about, you know, and that's what they're pumping into you. When you listen to their music, when you watch the movies, there's a secret message, there's a hidden agenda in every movie, every TV show, every song you listen to. It's the world. It's the devil trying to creep in and program your mind as a Christian. Because if you are a Christian and this is where you're getting your information from, you're just reading the Bible, then you're going to church, and then you're going to work, and then you're hanging around with God's people and your friends are righteous people, how's he going to corrupt you? How's he going to brainwash you? But when you turn on that TV, you're saying, come on in. When you go down to the theater, and let me tell you something, these movies that they're putting out at the theater are pretty amazing. Oh, the special effects are unbelievable. Millions, hundreds of millions now, some movies have pumped into them. If it wasn't attractive, people wouldn't go watch it. If it weren't tantalizing and seductive and it looks so cool and so awesome, and then they'll put it out on a subject that you like. I mean, and then you're just like, man, I just want to go see that one movie. But as soon as you do, you're just opening the door, just letting the devil come in and just teach you what he wants to teach you. And you know what? This preaching seems radical because you're desensitized to sin.
Yeah.
You're used to it. Because I grew up with it. And you just get used to it. And you start thinking that things are normal that are far from normal. Look at James 2, though. This is a great scripture on this, I think. James 2, 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Now hold on a second here. God is talking to his people saying, look, you look down on poor people and shame on you. He said, if a guy comes in fancy clothes, you put him in the front row, you give him a padded chair, you put him in the lazy boy, you know, and you just roll out the red carpet for him. And then a poor man comes in or somebody in vile raiment, you say, hey, you know, you can stand in the back or sit here under my footstool. And he says, wait a minute, this is wicked. You know, you shouldn't be a respecter of persons. You shouldn't honor the rich more than the poor. And he explains to them, he says, look, there are more poor people that love God, that are serving God. He said, mainly it's the rich people, okay, that oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. And watch this. Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? And yet you have their poster on the wall. You know, these multimillionaires of the NBA or Hollywood or the music industry, you have their poster up, but you know what? That same person will blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ in a movie. Look at Tom Hanks. Boy, don't you just love Tom Hanks? Yeah, I love him. He's so funny. He's such a cool guy. I love Tom Hanks. Yeah. But yet he comes out with a movie like The Da Vinci Code, which is just blasphemy against God. Yeah. Blasphemy against Jesus Christ. And you see, you as a Christian, flip back to Ephesians chapter 4. You as a Christian have mastered the art over the years of separating in your mind who those people are from the movie that you're watching. You have a way of separating it in your mind where you can just enjoy watching Tom Hanks in a movie and just forget that he hates God. Just forget that he blasphemes Christ. Just forget that he has a movie out to make perverted statements about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll go watch all his other movies and say, well, I still like Tom Hanks in Big. You know, or what else is Tom Hanks in? You know, what's it called? The one where he's on an island or something?
Castaway.
Castaway and what? Joe versus the Volcano, that you're going way back. You know, I still like Tom Hanks in, you know,
Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle, you know. Me and my girlfriend are going to watch Sleepless in Seattle. So cute. Yeah, and Tom Hanks even 15 years ago was in that movie Philadelphia, which is a pro-sodomite film.
That's right.
Pro-homo film. And now he's in the Da Vinci Code and whatever. Blaspheming Christ. And yet you watch his movies. Right now, that should just X off every movie by Tom Hanks. You say, I don't want to see Tom Hanks. Yeah. And then you know who else? You see, I love Andy Griffith. You know that little red-haired, little punk, freckled-faced little brat? He grew up and he's the one that directed that. Didn't he direct that Da Vinci Code? Ron Howard? Yeah, he directed the Da Vinci Code. Blasphemous, wicked. He directed all these godless, antichrist films. Little Opie. You know, as he marches off the cliff into hell. You know, and I don't want to watch that stuff. And there we go. There goes everything by Ron Howard and Tom Hanks. They've openly blasphemed Christ. I don't want to see their movies. And if we want to, we can just go down the list and pick whatever actor you want. Pick whatever one you want. You know, John Travolta. Oh, man, love John Travolta. What is he, Scientologist? And his movies, he makes movies putting in a theme of Scientology, brainwashing you. People go see the movie, they don't even know that's what it's about. Yes. It's actually indoctrinating them in the religion of Scientology. He said in the interviews. And by the way, John Travolta, put him on the sodomite list.
Right. Yeah.
Forgot about him. He is said. They asked him, you know, there's rumors that you're a homo. Is that true? He said, I'm not going to answer that question. He said, what I do in my private time is my own business and, you know, my bedroom habits and this and that. And there's all this evidence and people have said the reason he won't answer that question is because he's a sodomite. Because if he wasn't one, he'd just say, hell no. You know, that's the right answer to that question, by the way.
Amen.
That's the only acceptable answer to that question. Well, that's kind of a personal question. Next question. Well, you're in a bunch of tights in your movies. You're all gay and queer looking. You know, we already figured this that much. So mark him off the list. We could just go on all night. You can't tell. And then all your little Disney cartoons, the voices are by Whoopi Goldberg. The voices are by these people. You know, Alec Baldwin. You love Alec Baldwin, right? He's in movies kissing another man. But you love Alec Baldwin. There goes your Alec Baldwin movies. You know, I don't know the names. I'm going way back to back when I knew about, you know, the Hunt for Red October, you know? I don't know what else to say about how, you know, Alec Baldwin, whatever. You know, you can go down the list, friend, and people don't like this kind of preaching because it hits them where they live, but this is straight. You say, just preach the Bible, Pastor Anderson. This is Bible.
Amen.
Not taking pleasure in wicked sodomites. He said, don't do it. He said, you're a hypocrite if you stand against it and then take pleasure in them.
Yeah.
And then you tell me to preach the Bible. No, what, you know what people mean when they say, just preach the Bible. Don't add your commentary. Just preach the Bible. Okay, well then why don't we just do this? Why don't we just come to church and I'll just read the Bible to you? And I won't say anything. I'll just read it and we'll just close it and go home. Is that the purpose of church? Is that my calling as a preacher? To get up and just read the Bible to you? No, the purpose of preaching is to take the Bible, read it to you, and then bring it down where you live. Not to just get up and say, see, that's what it says. Yep. That's what he said. Not to set any wicked thing before your eyes. Let's look at the next verse, shall we? The whole point of being a preacher is to get up and say, let me tell you what he meant by that. Set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He was talking about the stuff that you watch.
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about. And by the way, that's why you should listen to preaching from today, not preaching from some tape recording and a record player. You know, people today, they want to listen to all this old audio preaching and tapes of all these dead preachers. You need a living, breathing preacher to preach to your carcass when you're sitting in church looking at the whites of his eyes.
Amen.
And by the way, if you can't see the whites of my eyes right now, then you're not in church. People listen to me on the internet and think they're in church. If you can see my eyeball, you're in church. If you can't, you're not in church.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. People today, they want to listen to preaching from the 1950s and 60s. You need the preaching of 2010, and I'm sorry I'm not caught up to date on this stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to try to preach a message that's relevant for today.
Amen.
Because the Bible is always there. It's eternal. But you need a man that's living and breathing flesh and bone. God gave some pastors and teachers and evangelists for the edification of the saints. Did I tell you to turn to Ephesians 4?
Yeah.
Or did I tell you to turn to Ephesians 5?
Ephesians 4.
Okay. Good. Let me turn there. Look at Ephesians 4, if you would. Dearly beloved. Let me see here. Galatians, Ephesians. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, he said in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's give an example of what we should speak the truth in love. Look at just a few verses later, chapter 5, verse 11. Actually, let's start with verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Because let me tell you something. What's acceptable to God is not the same as what you accept. God has a real high standard. Okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And there's a reason why. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I mean, the things that the Rolling Stones do in secret should not even be spoken of. And you can apply that, I'm sure, to AC/DC, which the name of the band means that they go both ways. It's a shame even to speak of what Metallica does in secret. Or what the TV stars do in secret. Or what Rosie O'Donnell and Roseanne's Ballroom and Ellen DeGeneres do in secret. It's a shame. And you know, oh, I'm just into the Christian contemporary. People will listen to Amy Grant. They'll listen to Amy Grant, who's an adulteress.
Right.
Who committed adultery and then divorced her husband and married the man that she committed adultery with. And you can read a book about it at the Christian bookstore. You can go to the Christian bookstore and get a book by Amy Grant about how she committed adultery and left her husband. Isn't God good? Isn't God's grace wonderful? And you can buy it down at the Baalamite bookstore tonight. And then people will listen to her. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. You know, again, we're going way back to the 80s. You know, whether it be Amy Grunt or Sandy Fatty, all of these Christian contemporary musicians, if you went and looked at their doctrine, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. I used to listen to a Christian rock band as a teenager, and I was excited they had a new CD coming out. I went down to the Balaamite bookstore, I bought my Christian rock band's new CD, and I opened it up, and it had a whole chapter from the Bible, right there in the sleeve, from The Message. You couldn't even, I was like, is this even the Bible? Because I hadn't really been exposed to The Message. I'm reading it, and I was like, is this just somebody talking about the Bible? But I'm like, but it says 1 Corinthians 2 right at the top of it. And it's in quotes. And then I looked at the page and said, scripture quotation from The Message. And I just said to myself, you know, is this who I want to be listening to? You know what I mean? Somebody who is, quote unquote, Bible is The Message? I mean, these Bibles like The Message and The Living Bible, these are the ones we literally were leafing through these at the Christian bookstore. It said, you know, that Jesus was put in the manger because there was no room in the hospital. You know, they just change everything. They just take liberties with what the Bible says. You know, I mean, that's not what the Bible says. You say, that doesn't matter. Oh, I know. And, you know, you're one of those people that thinks God's word doesn't matter. I know. You'll decide what matters and what doesn't. There was no room in the inn, okay? It's not a hospital, it's an inn. I know you don't think that matters. I think it does matter. Amen. Jesus wasn't born in a hospital. And he was never going to be born in a hospital. He was going to be born in an inn. And then he was born in a barn. That doesn't matter. Well, okay, you're right. The whole thing doesn't matter. Why are you even here then? It all matters. It's God's word.
Amen.
Every word of God matters. Everything matters. And they just change and chop and change and slice and dice God's word. And, you know, I don't want to listen to somebody. And then you look at these Christian singers. I saw this other Christian rock band that my friends are listening to. They were Catholic. Another one was Mormon. Most of them are Pentecostal. I looked up a band that I've been listening to as a teen, and they're talking about speaking in tongues. You know, that's not what I want. And by the way, when it comes to music, and you know, this sermon is just spinning out of control in so many directions because there's just so much Bible. There's so much to say about this. So much Bible's coming into my mind right now. Colossians 3:16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Music is teaching you. Music is admonishing you. If you go into the Christian bookstore and get this CCM, Catholics are teaching you. Southern Baptists are teaching you. Pentecostals are teaching you. Mormons are teaching you. That's what you get when you get this CCM. And then if you go down to the, you know, the real bookstore, the big boy, you know, rock and roll store, you basically have, you know, Eddie Van Halen teaching you. You know, you've got Metallica teaching you, and Britney Spears is going to teach you. Look, when you listen to Madonna, she's teaching you something. When you sing the hymns at church, you're being taught. And when you listen to the world music and Queen and the Doors and Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and you say, oh, those are old, but people still listen to them today. Yeah. Today's young people still listen to the Beatles, even though John Lennon blasphemed Jesus Christ. He's on the cover of his album, Naked. In the 1960s, they had to put a sticker over it before they could put it in the store because he's sitting on the album cover naked. That's the kind of garbage that people listen to, and Christians will have the Beatles. Christians will have the Doors, even though Jim Morrison would just openly blaspheme Christ. People will have Jimi Hendrix, even though Jimi Hendrix said, my religion, music is my religion, and that religion is voodoo. That's what he said. People will still listen to all this old, the golden oldies. And let me tell you something, as God's people, we need to get the right heroes, we need to be listening to the right people, and taking pleasure in the right people. If I want to be entertained by somebody, I want to be entertained by somebody who loves Jesus Christ. Not some charismatic, holy roller, tongue talker is going to entertain me. You know, I'm not going to be entertained by these movies. And you know what? Go ahead and watch all the Hollywood because you're super Christian. And it doesn't affect you. You know, I'm super Christian. I can watch every Hollywood movie. It doesn't affect me. The only, you know, it's like you only have one weakness. You know, it's kryptonite. But, you know, pornographic movies, Hollywood just bounces right off me. You know, rock and roll, I can listen to it, and the subliminal messages does nothing to me. Is that why Christians are so stupid today? You know why they're so stupid? Because they've been made stupid by the idiot box, also known as the television, the boob tube, the idiot box, has made you dumb. Remember when Mom used to tell you TV makes you stupid and rots your brain? She was right. Oh, that's so silly. TV rots your brain. It's true. See, I don't watch TV. I just go to the movie theater. Or I don't. I'm a good little fundamental Baptist, so I would never set foot in a movie theater. I just rent my videos at Blockbuster a few months later. And literally all over America today, Baptist church after Baptist church will preach against going to the theater and have a DVD player and watch the same movies. Look, a movie's a movie. What's wrong with the theater? The popcorn? No, the movies. What's wrong with the theater? Oh, it's the appearance of evil. If somebody sees you walking, it's not the appearance of evil, it is evil. Yeah. It's the presence of evil. You know, oh, you know, you don't want to go to the theater because then you're contributing money to the movie industry. That's why you should just rent the videos at home and just get it on satellite and cable. But this is the kind of stuff I've heard preached by people who want to justify sin. Why don't you just decide that these people are the enemy? You say, I don't think they're the enemy. I just love everybody. Look at Philippians 3 again. We already turned there. We're going to turn there again. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I'm telling you, you say, why are you so fired up? This message needs to be thundered and preached from the mountaintops. Because we live in a world of compromise and worldliness among God's people. You want to know why churches are dying? You want to know why soul winning is dying? Because of worldliness. It's true. Show me. Look, man. Show me the worldly church that has our soul winning program. Show it to me. Come on, show me. You say, I just don't think there's anything wrong with all the worldly music and the rock and roll and the backup singers and the worship service. I don't think there's anything wrong. Okay, show me that church's soul winning. It doesn't exist. And then ask yourself, isn't it interesting how the place where I go that hates sin, that breeds fire at all the music and TV that I like, is the same place that goes out and wins a bunch of people to Christ? Is there a connection here? Because worldliness will cripple you spiritually. It will suck the spirituality right out of you. It'll make you carnal and in the flesh. Remember what Jesus Christ, in his great preaching on bringing forth fruit in John 15, about how he's the true vine? And we're the branches. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's when we have fellowship with him. Hey, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in darkness and we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If you're walking in darkness, if you're living in sin, you don't have fellowship with Christ. Now, you may be saved, but you don't have fellowship with Christ. Christ is not with you. And you're in the flesh. You need to put on the new man. You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God's going to use you, because without him, you can do nothing. And so you go out soul winning in the flesh, you're doing nothing. That's why unsaved people can't win souls. They're in the flesh. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. And if you want to get Jesus Christ right there in the yoke with you, you got to put on the new man. You got to walk in the light as he is in the light to have that fellowship. Where did I have you turn? Philippians 3, again. Brethren, verse 17, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the what? The enemies of the cross of Christ. They are the enemy. The people who are promoting the destruction of this country through filth and immorality are my enemy. So I'm not going to go watch the enemy and laugh and have fun, because I just can't get past it that they're the enemy. I just can't sit down and just forget about the fact that these people are wicked, they're Satanist, They're globalist. They're sodomite. They're fornicators. They're drunks and drug addicts and dope pushers. I just can't get past that. It has ruined the mood. I just can't enjoy it anymore. Because I know that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. I just can't get past that. Why would you take pleasure in the enemy of Jesus Christ? And by the way, the Bible says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You see how God puts this into two camps? He said, either you're with me or you're against me. Either you gather with me or you scatter abroad. Some of you there just on the line, you know, trying to have one foot in the world, one foot in Hollywood, one foot in rock and roll, and then you got one foot in the hymns, one foot in church, one foot in the Bible, one foot in soul winning. You need to just decide to just shake off the dust of your feet and say, you know what? You too, you are the enemy. REM, you are the enemy. You know, you are against everything I believe. You are against the Jesus Christ that I believe and worship and serve. You are against me, Ron Howard. You are against me, Tom Hanks. You are against me, Tom Cruise. You are against me, Nicole Kidman. You are against me, Angelina Jolie. You are against me, Brad Pitt. You are against me, whoever you want to name. You are God's enemy, and so you're my enemy, and I want to be with people that love Christ. Amen. So get out of my sight. I want to have my eyes on the faithful of the land. Look what he says, though, in verse 17. Repetition is the key to learning. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. Now let me ask you something. Can you say, I'm an example? Can you stand up right now and say what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you say that tonight? Can you stand up right now and say, you know what? Follow me, because I am an example of somebody who's fighting for Jesus Christ and not against Him. Don't follow Michael Stipe, follow me. Don't follow Hollywood, follow me. Can you say that tonight? You ought to be able to say that. You ought to be following Christ and saying, you know what? Don't follow these guys. Children, young people, teenagers, young, even younger children than that. Don't follow the world, kids. Follow me. Can you say that? I like what Paul said in Romans 11:14. You don't have to turn there. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. You know what the word emulation means? What does it mean to emulate? Emulate is to copy, to imitate. He said, I want the people who are my relatives to copy me. That's what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:1. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He said in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me. You say, was he just have a big ego? Is he just conceited? No, he was doing the right thing and said, do what I'm doing. It's like Abimelech said in the book of Judges, as I do, you do likewise. Do like me. But many are, well, do as I say, not as I do. No, it ought to be do what I do. That's what Paul said. Just, he said, you want to know how to live the Christian life? Just watch what I do. And follow. Quit following all these stars and Hollywood. Follow me. You know what Jesus said? Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men, because he was a fisher of men. Follow me. Be like me. Follow me as I follow Christ. You say, Pastor Anderson, is that what you're saying tonight? That we should all just follow you? No, I'm saying that you should be somebody worth following and say to somebody else, follow me! Because I ought not be the only spiritual leader in this church. We ought to have a church filled with men and ladies that can stand up and say, I'm going to be an example of the believers. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. Talk like you want other believers to talk. In conversation, live like you want other believers to live. In charity, give of yourself and your time and care for others like you want them to do. In spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, be an example of purity. I don't care if you're young. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you have to listen to all the world's garbage because you're young. Well, I'm young, so I'm going to let my pants sag down like a homo. And by the way, that's where this whole pant sagging thing came from. In the 1980s, it was a bunch of homos in prison sagging their pants as a sign, I'm gay. And then that made it into the mainstream culture. I've talked to people who've been to prison and said, in prison, that was the sign that meant you're a sodomite. You sag your pants down. And today we've got a bunch of guys showing their rear end, showing their underwear. Gird up your loins like a man. Pull up your pants. Quit sagging your pants. Quit looking like the world. Look like God's people. Hey, don't sag your pants like the world and say, well, I'm just young. That's how we are. That's the style. You know, girls have to fit in, so they wear their tight, low-rider pants. They've got their bare midriff. They got the low cut. They got so much makeup on, they look like an insect or a creature from outer space or a harlot or whatever you want to call it. You know, they want to look like the world. They want to fit in with the world. I'm not the world. And if you're saved, you're not supposed to be the world either. Quit saying I'm young. Hey, your youth is not a reason why you shouldn't be an example of the believers. I don't care how young you are, you should say, I'm going to be an example of a believer. I'm going to be pure like a believer ought to be pure. I'm going to have charity, my patience, my spirit, my faith is all going to be exemplary of a believer. Don't hide behind the fact, well, I'm not the pastor, so I can live by a lower standard. You know, the pastor, he's not supposed to be given to wine, but, you know, I can drink a little wine cooler. Bartles and James, you know. I can drink Bud Light, you know. Because I'm not the pastor. Nobody's looking at me. Hey, people ought to be looking at you. You say, who's looking to me? The person that you should have just won to Christ. Who you're trying to lead and disciple and get to follow Christ. That's who ought to be looking at you. Your children are looking at you. Your friends are looking to you. You know, if you quit the church, if you get into worldliness, if you say, hey, let's go to the movies, you know, somebody might just say, okay, I'll go with you. You know, if you say, well, you know, I'm going to have a cold one, you know, okay, well, me too, if you're going to do it. There are some people who are weak in the faith who you can drag down with you into sin when you lead them to do things that are wrong, when you set a poor example. And again, I could preach all night. I'm not going to. You get the idea. Let's be a church. And, you know, I don't know about other churches. I don't care about other churches. I'm going to tell you something. This church is going to preach holiness. Whether it's in style or not in style. Whether people think it's cool. And nobody thinks that you're cool when you preach like this. This is not a cool sermon. Man, your pastor's so cool. That's not what somebody walks out saying after a sermon like this. But you know what? People who don't hear this kind of sermon are going to be worldly. And therefore, they're never going to do anything for God. And they might do a little bit for God. But you know what? They're not going to be in the long haul doing what God really wants them to do. You know, Moses wasn't sagging his pants. You know, Moses gave up all the Egyptian stuff. You know, he gave up the music. He gave up the Hollywood. He would not even be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He got rid of all that. He just totally cut the ties with that and just said, you know what? I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin with the season. He just said, you know, I don't need this stuff. He just made a break from it. Why don't you just decide whose side you're on tonight and say, you know, am I going to be consorting with the enemy? Am I going to love and cherish the enemy? Or am I going to say, you know what? I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm with Christ. You blaspheme Christ, I'm not going to watch your movies. You blaspheme Christ, I don't want to hear your music. You blaspheme Jesus Christ, you are the enemy. Thine enemies take thy name in vain, it says in Psalm 139. Let's get right with God tonight. Let's be holy and separated and set apart. Because if we don't, our spirituality is going to be crippled. We're never going to be effective like we should be for God. And not only that, God's going to be mad. His wrath is toward ungodliness and unrighteousness. Let's clean up our act. And let's decide today and tomorrow, when we wake up tomorrow morning, say, you know what? I don't want anything from the world today. Just, I don't need it. You know what I mean? I'm just cutting it off. Don't want to hear it. Sick of it. I mean, do you ever just get sick of it? Do you ever feel like the devil's just going, wham, 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 wham? He's just like opening your mouth and just eat this, shoving garbage in your mouth. Just, here, swallow this. Sick of it. You know, sick of it. You know?
You turn on the TV, it's just one sodomite after another.
I'm sick of it. In fact, I got sick of it 8 years ago, and I just said in my wrath, I was just angry one day, I said, that's it, God. I said, I'm never watching TV again. And I've never watched it since. Just got sick of it. Just got sick of that stuff being jammed down my throat. I said, I'm going to decide what goes into my mind. I'm not going to let somebody else decide for me. I'm going to decide. It's going to be God's Word. It's going to be the things of God. Now look, I'm not perfect, and you'll never be perfect either. We're never going to be perfect. But we ought to be an example of the believers. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your Word, dear God. And Father, help us to take the message for what it is. Not a pleasant sermon, dear God, but